Wow. Welcome to another Flophouse Mini. That's right. An episode of the Flophouse that's theoretically shorter than a normal episode, and we do different stuff on it. This is the Flophouse Podcast, and I'm one of the hosts. My name is Stuart Wellington, and joining me are...
Hi, I'm Dan McCoy, delighted by how much Stuart seemed... I don't know, to do like a weird, awkward surprise. Like, oh, I didn't know that you were going to be here.
I'm Elliot Kalin, and it appeared to me that Stuart was in the situation of stealing someone's valuables when they thought the house was empty. And then when the homeowner walked in, they pretended to start a podcast as if that's what he was there for. And who's joining us as a special guest today, Stuart?
What?
Yep, there he is. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Griffin Newman of the Blank Check podcast. What a surprise guest. I cannot believe I'm here.
Way to put our guest to work right away, Stuart. We could tell.
Oh, but also the Disney Plus original movie Disenchanted streaming November 18th.
That's right.
That's what you're here to promote?
Right up top.
Right up at the top.
If you prefer to take your podcaster in chipmunk form,
yes.
Then this is for you.
I feel like between Blank Check and the times I've appeared on other shows, the complaint I get most often is, why does Griffin speak so lowly and such?
Yeah. When Dan,
dulcet tones.
When Dan said, take your podcaster in chipmunk form, Griffin grabbed his hat and I'm like, he's going to put on a fucking costume.
I'm going to put on the chipmunk. No, I don't have a chipmunk suit. Yet. I guess I should have one. But that's everyone. They say, your voice is too deep, too slow, too
And they're
low.
Always like,
can we speed it up? Can we chip it up?
Why doesn't Griffin share what he thinks? Why is he so reticent to speak? Mm-hmm. What's going on?
I hold it all so close to the vest.
This is a behind the scenes thing. I was saying to my wife and to my son, I said, oh, we're having Griffin Newman on tonight, so it might be a little long for a mini because he's a guy who likes to talk. And my son goes, oh, like you? It showed.
Your home is out of aloe vera at this point because you've been roasted.
Call me Billy Joel because I was living in a glass house with that one.
I'm sure. I mean, I think before we met and before our podcast had formally collided, I would hear a lot from people, oh, you're a lot like Elliot Kalin. Like the Elliot of your show.
I get a lot of, you're like Griffin Newman. Someday we're going to have to, I guess, have a baby together and see if it's the most pure version of us that's possible. I don't know.
Absolutely.
This is how we got French bulldogs.
Please explain what that means.
this interbreeding for characteristics. Eventually you get this critter that's going to be wheezing around. It might be adorable.
It can't stop talking and dropping movie references, but also it can't breathe out of its nose for some reason.
Yeah. It's the best at what it does, but what it does is kind of just be hanging on to life.
The movie reference part of the brain
is staying alive.
The movie reference part of the brain is so overgrown that it can no longer stand erect. It has to lie with its head on a pillow. But brilliant.
Yeah.
Did we decide on what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did. I haven't gotten to introduce it.
Okay.
I was going to introduce. Thank you so much, Griffin, for joining us for our first annual State of the Newman Address.
Wow. I did not know this is what was happening. Okay.
This is it. Every year, Griffin Newman comes on a mini and talks about the state of the entertainment industry, the world, his life, where the sciences are right now, the arts in general, the state of our oceans, the state of space junk, how much space junk is still in the sky orbiting around the Earth. And he just gives it to us comprehensively, no holds barred. He's the last sane man in a world gone mad. And he's here to drop some truth bombs on us in his very respectable, very dignified, and I think this is what the 45th or 46th annual State of the Newman Address.
I know. I did know it was that time of the year already, and boy, are you guys lucky that I already have a Google Doc prepared with answers to all of those specific topics you just said. I just happen to have it open right there.
I wouldn't say I like to throw my co-hosts under the bus, but I did say, maybe let's not go with the premise that requires Griffin to do so much work. Our guests in our home and these two agents of chaos were like,
oh, sure.
No.
I think it's great. My third podcast episode I've done today.
Let's keep it going. So you're all revved up and ready to do some talking.
I think, just a night 11:40 p.m. record.
That fact, Elliot, that fact makes me want to.
2 days after the time change.
True.
So it feels later.
God, yeah, yeah.
Thank God.
We can't do this to a man who's the third podcast of the day. We may need to go to the fallback premise.
Then let's go.
No, I'm gonna give this first podcast of the day energy. I'm gonna give it 11:40 a.m. energy.
So if we're not doing the annual state of the Newman address,
we're not.
Well, you know what? Why don't you build up your force for that? Because our backup thing, which is even dumber than that, I have a little I have a little game just for you. It's two games, in fact. One's called Know Your Newmans and one's called Get Your Griffins. Okay. And so I'm gonna see how well you know other famous Newmans and Griffins. All right.
Cool. I try to keep tabs on both.
Okay, then we'll talk about movies or something. Pick your poison, you'll end up doing both. Would you rather do Know Your Newmans or Get Your Griffins first?
I think,
and remember, you could have gotten out of this by giving an extemporaneous speech about everything in the world.
I'm still going to.
Okay, fair.
Don't think that's off the table. I'm trying to think which one would be easier, Sarah. Let's go Newmans first.
Okay, I think that's a good idea because in Know Your Newmans, it's all last names.
Right.
In Get Your Griffins, some of them might be first names.
Fuck.
So it's gonna be first names or last names.
It goes both ways.
Know Your Newmans. All right. Mm-hmm. So we'll start off a little easy. Do you know this Newman?
Okay.
Do you know this race car driver and salad dressing magnate who just had a posthumous memoir published?
Paul Newman.
There you go.
This is the one I wish I were related to. Okay. Well, there are a couple. We'll get to the other ones.
It's possible. He's Jewish, right? Probably
he
not.
Is.
Oh, he is?
No, okay. No, he is. He's like the best of us. Yeah.
in every sense, that was when he died. The people of Israel said he was the best of us.
I mean, there were a few
prophets who were vying for the role, but overall,
no, he is the best of us.
Yeah, when he ascended to heaven, and Saul and David both said, and Solomon all went, "Hey, you take the throne, man.
You got it, man.
You get it."
And say what you want, they did change the label for his Asian-styled salad dressing to be less kind of
a little
racist-ish.
And when he died, they did change the labels to put X's over his eyes so that everyone knew that he had passed.
Well, that was for accuracy. The FDA said there are whole
generations of Americans who are going to grow up thinking that he's a man who had a popcorn and salad dressing company and may have been in movies also.
Yeah.
They're not going to know it. Who he really
was. I was going to say, after he died, people thought it was maybe a cause collaboration. One of those, the kids love these cause collaborations. I don't know if you're aware of this. Paul Newman.
Okay, Paul Newman. So here's another easy one. Okay.
One down. Yeah.
Do you know this Newman? Who is the Catholic churchman given the catty satire treatment in Leighton Strachey's classic Eminent Victorians?
Oh, come on.
We've all read Eminent Victorians. It is a hilariously catty book about four Victorian British people written in the 1920s, I believe, by Leighton Strachey. I never knew how to pronounce it, but he's a hilarious writer.
Sorry, did you say Itchy and Scratchy?
Written by Itchy and Scratchy. It was a collaboration.
They set aside their differences.
Itchy and Scratchy, two characters who my son is sincerely entertained by, does not get the joke of
That's
them.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay, wait. Can you read it to me one more time? I think I'm going to get it this
time. I'll give you a hint. He's English. He's also from England.
That's the one thing I've been banking on.
This Catholic churchman, famous figure in the Catholic Church, given the catty satirical treatment in Leighton Strachey's classic Eminent Victorians. Do you need me to name the other people who are in Eminent Victorians? Would that help?
Yeah, that would help. Let's eliminate some other names.
Okay, hold on. Let me just make sure that I've got all, again, they all, it has, his, it, the name has to have Newman in it. So this won't help that much, but just, you know, the book also goes after, it goes after Florence Nightingale, Thomas Arnold, the schoolmaster, and General Charles, quote, Chinese Gordon. Now, I should be clearer. He is mentioned in the chapter about Cardinal Manning.
Oh, that chapter. Okay, go on.
so that may be helpful.
Yeah, no, that is. That's a huge hint. That's almost a giveaway. I'm going to do what perhaps is a cheat and also I'm guessing is wrong and guess Vicar Newman?
Oh, I'm so sorry. It was Cardinal Newman.
So you would have accepted if I'd gotten the right title.
Yeah, I would have accepted it. Fuck. Yeah, I believe it's John Henry Newman was the name, but I would have accepected Cardinal Newman. Sorry about that. Okay,
Vicar just felt more British.
Okay, here's one. Okay, well, here's another. Here's a hard one. No, it's an easy one. How about this one?
Okay.
Humor magazine mascot who spells
Alfred
his name
Newman.
Differently than you.
Alfred E. Newman. N-E-U-M-A-N.
So is his middle name also entertainment?
I think so. Yeah, just like Charles E. Cheese.
Yeah. I was, they're related.
I was explaining that we drove by the Chuck E. Cheese in our neighborhood because there is one. And I said, oh, well, you know, his name is technically Charles Entertainment Cheese. And my older son, Sammy, said, but it's Chuck, not Charles. And I was like, well, Chuck is short for Charles. And then my wife turned to me and she goes, why do you know this?
And why do you feel compelled to pass it along to the next generation may pass it down?
That's a good
question. Why do you know his full Christian name?
Yeah. Chester Edward or Charles Edward Cheese. Yeah.
Not a Jew, for the record.
No, not a Jew. No.
Elliot knows it because he wrote the Times obituary that they have on file.
Well, I ghost wrote his memoir. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's not always playtime down at the Playhouse. That was his memoir. It was all about being performing in Summerstock and his troubles there. Nothing about pizza or the Chuck E. Cheese franchise.
Yeah.
He never wanted to go into restaurants. It's a terrible business. It's a terrible industry. Yeah.
Anyway, so how about this one? Here's another easy one.
Okay.
American abstract expressionist painter who specialized in color fields.
Fuck. American abstract painter. So you said this was an easy one.
But I also said Cardinal Newman was an easy one. But
I
this
know.
One's a little,
I'm starting to sense a pattern. This one feels easier.
This is easier than Cardinal Newman, not as easy as Paul Newman.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say Richard Newman.
Okay. It's a good shot in the dark. No, it was Barnett Newman. Newman.
Okay.
A name that you may know. Again, abstract, very much in the Rothko vein.
That
vein.
Yeah, not Rothko Newman, but Mark Rothko.
Oh, big colors. This man is one of these men who takes the canvas and he paints one big color on it.
Well, it's not. He does some of that. Yeah,
not exclusively, but I'm saying a lot of big color paint.
A lot of big colors. You feel like one day Mark Rothko reaches his breakthrough when he was like, I got to get the background ready for this amazing painting I'm going to do, and he just painted all red and he goes, I think I'm done. I'm tired.
Wait a second. Okay, so Barnett Newman would do like a line.
Yeah, he'd do like a line or like a squiggle or something like that.
In the middle. Okay. Yeah. I kind of like this. He looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a real face about him. Yeah.
He does, absolutely.
He kind of looks like if Paul Krugman was cool.
Great description.
So, this one, you might get this one. Well, how about it? This is a Newman. Know this Newman. Original cast member of SNL.
Lorraine Newman.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. And here's another easy one for you. British author, best known for his Dracula novels, but he's also dabbled in the Warhammer and Doctor Who universes, and he once wrote a book of short stories in which Ed Gein and the Blues Brothers both appear.
Now this I really feel like I should know. I'm going to say Randolph Newman.
Close. It was Kim Newman. Kim Newman
Kim Newman. I do know that name.
Yeah. Author of Anno Dracula, Dracula Cha-Cha, Bloody Red Baron. Yeah. The Ed Gein and the Blues Brothers appear in his book, Back in the USSA, which is a book of short stories set in a socialist America where the history doesn't quite work out. His parallels.
The one where Blues Brothers meet again, it doesn't totally check out?
Where the characters also include Kurt Vonnegut and I think Hannibal Lecter is in it also.
Wow.
But how about this? You're going to get this one.
Okay.
Know this Newman. You're going to know this. Mm. Singer and songwriter who always sounds like he's got something in his mouth.
Because I thought it could be a couple people until we got to that last part. Randy Newman.
You're right. Randy Newman.
Randy Newman.
The guy who bothers
of them all.
Another way I bother my children is by just walking around going, you got a family, which they don't like. Nobody
Never
likes
not
it.
Fun. No. Never not
Never
fun.
Not fun. He's someone who I'm like, if he could be a Muppet, he wouldn't even have to do a voice. It would just be his regular voice. Okay, we've got one person left in Know That Newman, or is it Know Your Newmans? Okay. I don't remember what I called it before.
Know Your Newmans.
Know Your Newmans. So this one, I hope you get correct because it's someone I am related to by marriage. So, okay.
Griffin Newman.
Okay. Yeah, wait a second.
And it's Randy Newman. Yeah. And he's with me today. Hey, Griffin, it's going great to see you.
Nice to see you.
Okay, I won't do the whole thing where Randy Newman's here and he keeps singing You Got a Friend in Me, because I did that on an episode before, and I'm not one to repeat bits, right, Dan?
No, never.
Not unless Stuart suddenly reminds me of a character I barely remember that I did a long time ago, as he did in the previous minute.
That's why both your kids find both you and I very funny, because neither of us ever repeats bits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would love you. My kids would love you. They're big fans. Okay.
They'd say another one of these.
No. They'd be like, he's just like Dad without any of the baggage or power to punish. They would love you so much.
That's
it's
true.
Like Vacation Dad. Yeah.
Finally, a dad that they don't have to have it, that they don't have to care about.
Right.
But they did. They've been very clear in their feelings about me today. They did call me boring, and at one point I got hit with a toy in the face, and that was deemed hilarious for a moment until it was clear that it actually hurt.
And so, how old is this kid? 17?
Yeah, 17. My oldest is 32, and my youngest is 17. Yeah.
Okay.
But they're actually twins. There was a mistake with a time machine. I won't get into it now. It's not interesting.
Okay. Sure.
Okay, so this is award-winning general relativity physicist who co-developed the famous Newman-Penrose formalism. And remember, this is someone I'm related to by marriage, so I will be deeply offended if you don't get it. And their last name is Newman.
I'm prepared to steal.
Do you have this, Stuart? Would you mind reading the hint one more time, please?
Okay,
this
award-winning general relativity physicist. He was a winner of the Einstein Award, the Einstein Prize.
Okay.
Who co-developed the Newman-Penrose formalism.
Okay, I have my answer. I'm going to say it is award-winning general relativity physicist Dr. Newman. That is my final answer.
You're right. I mean, you're technically right. I've got to give it to you. His full name is Ezra Teddy Newman. He was my wife's grandfather's cousin and also my wife's grandfather's best friend, and he was a very nice man. Everyone called him Teddy. But wow. I guess his coworkers called him Ted. Anyway, award-winning physicist, a real member. Yeah, my wife's family just passed away last year. Anyway.
Wow, yeah, wow.
Yeah, so let's tally up the score, which I wasn't really keeping.
Yeah, let's hear it.
you blazed ahead with 4 out of 8, it looks like. Mm. So that's
pretty good.
A solid 50%. In this democracy, that's enough to get you a win. And
and
if we gerrymandered that one.
You are winning over second player not found. So that's good news for you.
Other controller not connected.
I was going to say, excuse me, Dan, you got 0 points so far.
Yeah, it's true.
Stuart's got 0 points so far. Yeah, I think that's the competition.
Stuart threatened to steal on the last one, but he did not get a chance.
He didn't get a chance.
You know what?
He scooped me.
I got to give you credit for Dr. Newman. That's 5. You got 5 out of 8, actually. That's much better, yeah.
Okay.
You just need to bone up on your English Catholic history, your Dracula, non-canon Dracula knowledge, and also abstract expressionist art.
Speaking of which, I finally caught up with Barnett Newman's face over here, and I also would like to endorse it. He's got a really nice mustache as well.
It's fun. He's got a fun energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like a guy who'd give you a real good time. Yeah,
a real blast.
Yeah. Okay, so should we move on to the second game now? This is Get That Griffin.
Oh, please.
Get Your Griffin. Yeah. Something like that.
Get That Griffin.
Get a Griffin. Now, in this case, these are famous Griffins. Now, throw a curveball your way. It could be a first name or a last name.
Uh-huh.
So.
We could also be talking about the mythical creature, right?
Well, this is my question.
I did consider including that, but I thought it would be unfair because that's technically not, I don't know the Griffin's name. Mm-hmm. I know that's a species, but I don't know if he has another name.
Well, Elliot, I would suggest asking him directly. That's the best way to find out.
Yeah,
I'll get in touch with him through his people. He's in the book. I'll just look him up. I'll let my finger do the talking.
The cryptozoology book.
And so here's the first question. Okay. Mm-hmm. Murderous Invisible Man, played by Claude Rains.
Oh, fuck. I just watched this. Griffin is his last name.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What's his first name? And don't get it confused with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. That's a different first name.
I know.
R.I.P. to Kevin O'Neill, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did Kevin O'Neill pass away?
He just passed away.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know.
I'm the fucking best.
I'm learning this news on air right now. Oh, that's so sad. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
That makes me sad. Well, that's the end of it. That's the end of this episode. Sorry, everybody.
Game's over.
Game's over. Yeah.
I did a bunch of the Universals during the month of October, the spookiest month.
Good time to do it.
And
this shows how out of step with the world and America I am is that I didn't watch that many horror movies during October, and then November 1st I was like, put it up, Spanish language Dracula, Vampire's Kiss, I'm watching them all. Like suddenly I was all about horror movies right after Halloween.
I watched a really scary horror movie during October. It was called The News.
Oh, shit.
This is the State of the Newman Address.
This is the State of the Newman Address.
State of the Newman is sassy.
I'm so glad I watched this movie within the last 2 weeks because it, of course, is fresh in my memory that this character's name is Dr. Newman.
This is the Griffin's name. This is the Griffin's name. I'm so sorry.
Fuck!
I'm so sorry. That's an easy mistake to make. He is not Dr. Newman, but in fact, Dr. Jack Griffin.
Oh, unforced error.
Very
Jack's
unforced.
His first name.
Wow. It's hard to believe that you got that half of the answer wrong.
I know.
Perhaps I wasn't clear enough in explaining the rules of the game, but I'll tap into my inner memoir and go into the rules of the game, which is it's people with Griffin in their name.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. That was definitely your mistake and not mine. Great.
So here's another Griffin. Let's see if you can get this one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe you said you watched The Invisible Man recently. Maybe this is someone whose work you've also encountered recently. This is founding member of Mott the Hoople.
Jesus Christ. God damn it. Well, at least I was right that this one's harder.
Yes.
Harder than the
one you got wrong. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I am going to say Griffin Hoople.
I'm so sorry. It is Dale Buffin Griffin. So Griffin was actually the last name.
Buffin.
But not a bad
Griffin?
Guess.
Buffin is the nickname.
Yeah, okay.
Not a terrible guess. Not a terrible guess.
I think Griffin Hoople's not a terrible guess.
Mott the Hoople, of course, the only band to be sponsored by Mott's Apple Juice. Mott's Apple Juice, the only apple juice you could drink when I was a kid. There were no other ones around.
It's like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's Mott's the Hoople.
Yeah, Mott's the Hoople. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What is a Hoople? Well, we'll find out in Newman's in Griffin's State of the Newman Address, probably. Okay.
Yep, coming up.
Okay, so this one, I think you'll get this one. This is for an old movie hound like you. You're going to get this one. Okay. The star of Undercover Brother, who is ranked number 62 on Comedy Central's list of the 100 greatest stand-ups of all time. So he's not only in Undercover Brother, he is also the 62nd greatest stand-up of all time, according to Comedy Central.
I have talked about this with my friend David Sims, a co-host of Blank Check, many times, that for a long time, my greatest career aspiration was to be in a two-hander buddy comedy with this actor so the poster could just be Eddie Griffin Newman.
Mm-hmm. You got it, Eddie Griffin.
Thank you.
You know it.
Thank you.
And I think that's a great poster, too. Although it would surprise... I think people would think that Nelson Eddy and Barnett Newman and Merv Griffin were in a movie together.
I mean, either way, a great before and after on the Wheel of Fortune.
That's true. That would be a great Wheel of Fortune.
I have a question.
Yeah.
If we know who Chris is, who's Ruth in the Ruth's Chris?
The possessor of Chris.
I guess. I just don't know why I'd go to them for a steak.
Because they're really open about the dominant relationship that they have.
I guess.
I was going to say, if you like the Chris, you'll love the steak.
Guess you're right. If it's Ruth's.
Yeah. You like this guy? He's in charge of the steak.
Okay. I'm sorry. I looked it up. It was founded as Chris Steakhouse. And then a woman named Ruth Fertile bought it. And I guess didn't want to thoroughly abandon the value of Chris Steakhouse as a brand, so it became Ruth's Chris. That is absurd.
Yeah.
So and not make it Ruth Chris, but and create a new person, a new character named like Ruth Chris.
Ruth Chris sounds too much like ruthless.
Right.
Well, but I mean, like, It also implies that there's some Chris's Steakhouses out there that are not Ruth's Chris's Steakhouse.
That's fair.
Yeah, and I've yet to see one.
Yeah.
It was one restaurant. She bought one restaurant that was called Chris's Steakhouse.
And what I can only assume that at some point she played for the Miami Dolphins, because isn't that like a requirement for you to name a steakhouse after yourself?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You have to do that. Peter Luger, he did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Smith and Walensky, they both did that. Yeah.
Old Homestead.
Yeah. Yep. Old. O Homestead. The O stood for old. Yeah. Of course. Keen. Yeah. Yeah. All of them. For anyone listening at home who's not from the New York area, if you'd like to put in your own regional steakhouses into this joke, yeah. Feel free.
Frank.
Yeah.
It's a good exercise, you know, if you want to learn how to write.
The Palm.
Yep.
Palm. T-H-E Palm. That's Theodore Howard Edward Palm.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Okay, we've got some more Griffins. Are you ready for them?
Okay. I as ready as I've ever been. Yeah.
Okay. How about this? You're doing great. You got, you're not doing great. You've got one out of three.
I'm doing okay.
You're doing okay. Okay. Current pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals.
God damn it.
A baseball player playing now. Anymore. The season's over, but playing in this era.
Well, I'm going to name the most current relevant baseball player I can think of. Ken Griffey Jr.
I'm sorry, Griffey is close to Griffin. I don't believe Ken Griffey ever played for the Cardinals. I could be wrong about that. I was thinking of Griffin Roberts.
Wasn't going to get that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but
what were we going to say?
What were we going to say? I was just going on to the next question. I want to hear your story about Griffin Roberts, someone I think you've just learned the existence of.
Yeah, I have no opinion on whatsoever. I was going to say that when I was a child, and they would ask us, like, who's your favorite athlete? You know, like those sort of like go around, say your favorite animal, say your favorite color, and like
favorite food, pizza, favorite movie, Terminator 2. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I would always say Ken Griffey Jr. because it was just like, well, I could pick the guy whose name sounds like mine. I had no opinion on him otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Loved him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like get a shirt or a poster or anything? Maybe him posing next to a Lamborghini or?
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I remember reading his biography, his like little junior biography.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is a lot of commitment to a name link to like.
Hey,
read the whole
thing. If nothing else,
yeah,
I commit to the bit.
Wow. Well, hopefully you can continue to commit to this dumb bit of the Get Your Griffins game, because here's another one coming your way. Okay, the mascot of the College of William and Mary.
I'm going to say the Griffin.
And you know what? I looked it up. He does have a name, it turns out, and now I know it. What is that name?
That name is... Okay, let's just clarify. It is a griffin?
I cannot... Let me ask the judges. No, the judges say I'm not allowed to tell you ahead of time, but I believe from context clues, you can probably figure out the answer to that question.
Okay, and we want a proper name. First and last?
Just one name. Just one name. Will help you that this mascot... the other finalists for the job that did not get it were a phoenix... A pug, a wren, and a king and queen. So, you know it's not one of those, so...
Okay. I'm going to guess his name is... King Phoenix Pug Wren the Griffin.
I mean, that's a great name.
Can I attempt to steal?
Yeah, you can try it. Yeah, unless Griffin thinks he can stop the steal, he can.
No, I'm going to give Stuart the opening here.
Is it Griffey Entertainment Griffin?
Fuck.
So Griffey is not a nickname. Griffey is his full name?
Is it just a one-word name? Sorry.
It is a one-word name. Dan, are you doing research or are you guessing?
No, I'm just guessing. Griffin?
Do you want to steal the steal?
I'm just curious.
It's not Griffin.
Man.
Can I go back and try to re-steal the steal for myself?
Yeah, if they want to re-steal the steal.
You know from the rules that were clearly explained, once we go one ring around the Zoom, you get to get another chance.
Then you can re-steal the steal again. That's a special bonus move that we call a re-steal reseal. That's when you unseal. It's also called re-steal unseal. You unseal your old answer and you re-steal it. Yeah.
Give me the name of the college again.
The College of William and Mary.
Okay, I'm going to guess his name is Will the Griffin.
Ooh, all right. That's not correct.
Fuck.
I think this was probably your second choice. His name is Reveille the Griffin, named in honor of University President Taylor Reveille upon his retirement.
I was closest.
In 2018.
No way.
I was closest.
I was going to go with Gary next.
Yeah, I was between Gary, Greg, Gary's and then I pretty. Thought it, maybe it's William.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the right line of thinking that it was a name connected to the college itself.
No, I think if only you had some time to research other names connected to the college, I think you definitely would have gotten it.
And that's on me. That's on me. Obviously, I came unprepared tonight.
Yeah, it's on me.
Now, this maybe someone can write in and explain about this, or maybe you guys are familiar. It's looking at Wikipedia. It says Griffin mascot. Mm. It says related mascots, Canisius College Golden Griffin. Now, are they implying that these two mascots are related?
Huh. I can only assume.
That's like if you go onto IMDb and it recommends other movies, like Movie Connections.
Yeah.
Technically, those movies are cousins. If they're being recommended to you by an algorithm or a database like that, the movie is a cousin.
That reminds me of
that's why Roman J. Israel Esquire and Haxan never married. Because I don't know why those two were recommended together, by the way. I just, I have a weird algorithm.
I will know why this. I remember years and years ago looking at the IMDb listing for From Hell, the Jack the Ripper movie, and seeing that
recommend. And you're like, not based on reality, huh? Weird.
Wait a minute.
This was a true story.
Are you saying that
loosely inspired?
That they took liberties with this, what I thought was a documentary film. That it said like if you the recommendations. Another one was Rising Sun, I believe. And I was like, wait a minute. The only thing this movie has in common, I think, is they're both movies where prostitutes are murdered. Like, this is, like, that's not why I want to watch movies, but the computer doesn't know. makes more sense than when I finished watching The Lost Daughter on Netflix, and Netflix said, you might like this. And it put up, Somebody Feed Phil. And I was like, I don't think that's what's the right follow-up for this.
After you see a daughter being lost, you're very concerned. You become, your paternal instincts kick in. You're like, can somebody feed Phil?
Somebody's got to feed Phil. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. Phil is starving. Get this Griffin. Okay, Griffin. Mm-hmm. Griffin, get this Griffin, Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
And you're bound to get this one. This one's a guarantee if you are my dad, because this is a famous author of military and detective novels, and my dad has read like a million of his books, routinely picks them up, routinely buys them, starts reading them, and realizes he has already read that one, and then puts it back down.
This is what's annoying is I believe my grandfather also was a rabid reader of this man's books. And I'm picturing the spines on his bookshelf. The
covers are very shiny.
I'm going to ask you for a hint. You could decide whether or not to grant it to me. Is his first name initials?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
He's going to say yes.
This is a clue that might be less helpful than I would think it would be. Actually, we'll see. His first name is initials that spell out a word related to perhaps America's favorite fictional character. Just by coincidence, but the word is related to America's favorite fictional character, possibly.
Whoa. Oh. Okay.
Okay, so now I'm convinced it has to be a Chuck E. Cheese thing.
That's right. America's favorite fictional character. Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Fictional?
I'm going to say C.E. Griffin.
I'm sorry, it's Webb Griffin. W.E.B. Griffin.
Right!
That fictional character, of course, Spider-Man, the greatest character in fiction in all of literature ever. Mm-hmm. Yep. Take that, Odysseus.
Okay.
Yeah. Spider-Man knows how to find his way home, as evidenced by the movies we saw.
Yeah. That was such a rude taunt to tell him there was no way home.
It was very inaccurate, too. Very inaccurate.
I know.
Yeah.
It really feels like it motivated him.
Now I really want to see a version of the Odyssey where it's Spider-Man instead of Odysseus, and he's just webbing that Cyclops in the eye. Just,
Up in Maine.
Putting webs in.
Goes down to Hades to talk to Uncle Ben. Yeah.
Up in Maine, that movie was called Spider-Man, You Can't Get There From Here.
Thank you, Dan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good work. Good work. Really strong work.
Dan, like some...
Stephen King's listening to this right now, and he's like, fucking nailed it. Yeah.
Some rough beast stirred himself from his ages slumber to deliver that zinger against Maine.
This is more of a nod to their sort of local dry sense of cranky humor.
Oh yes, no, of course. Yeah, we understand. It was thank you for dissecting the joke for us.
I mean, it might have landed a little bit better if I'd said it, you know, immediately and not after an interruption. But who's to say? Who's to say?
I don't know if it could have possibly gone over any better than that.
There's no way of knowing. To quote Jack White, who's to say? Yeah.
Who's to say?
So this one, okay, that one was close. Okay. That was close. This one's going to be even closer. Yeah.
Because, it drives me crazy, because I knew, the amount of times I had to look at those spines.
Yeah. And it's all like the colonel, you know, and stuff like that.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
They're all about police officers in the army or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've never read them, but my dad goes crazy for them. If my dad was a girl, those books would be a sharp-dressed man because he goes crazy for them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Alternately, if the book was a girl, it would have legs because certainly it knows how to use them to walk over to my dad and make him read the book. That one didn't work quite as well.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get as many 80s hits ZZ into
top.
This. Yeah.
Okay.
Still, as many as the British would say, ZZ top songs.
And as you said,
sometimes
your dad would double back on books that he'd read before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He'd enjoy it so much he'd do the tube steak book.
Yeah, he also thought those books had a real tush on them.
It's amazing how
my wedding song
ZZ Top is possibly it's like such a funny combination of just the most extremely proficient guitar playing and the dumbest subject matter for every song. Anyway, I'm sure there's big ZZ Top fans out there. I apologize. Anyway,
yeah, she wants a pearl necklace, Elliot. That's the name of the song.
Anyway,
I didn't make it up.
No, I know you didn't. It was those bearded gentlemen. Okay. You're going to get this one. Anyway, so you're going to get this one. Mm-hmm. 72nd Attorney General of the United States. He served under Jimmy Carter.
Stewart?
Oh, you're phoning a friend?
What was that reaction just now? Yeah. Can I phone?
You get one phone a friend, but it has to be a friend who's already on this Zoom call because the budget is tight for this show.
Say it one more time, Elliot.
Stewart responded as if he were front row at a ZZ Top concert and they just started playing Tush. Just for the listener at home.
Ooh.
Okay, so 72nd Attorney General of the United States served under President James Carter.
I would say... Attorney General Griffin.
Okay, well done.
Well, now, okay, that's his suggestion. Griffin, are you going to take that suggestion? Again, this has turned now into a game I called Hollywood Griffs. It's like Hollywood Squares, but with Griffin. So are you going to take that one, or are you going to say yes or no?
Well, right. I mean, I basically feel like 50-50 chance. Stewart's answer covers me. Ironclad. If Griffin's the last name and not the first.
Yes, but that's like you're saying, that's a 50-50 risk.
It's a 50-50 risk.
Yeah, especially since this is not really a game of chance, but a game of knowledge based on a real piece of information. So there's no luck involved.
I'm chancing it pretty hard. I'm going to say Attorney General Griffin.
I'm so sorry. His name is Griffin Bell. So it would be Attorney General Bell.
Fuck me.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, boy. You know what? I wasn't gonna pull this one out.
I feel like
you need a win,
Griffin.
So I'm just gonna say. Okay. So I'm just gonna say, American Werewolf in London. What are you gonna say,
Griffin Dunn?
Okay, you got it. You got one. Yeah. Okay, fantastic.
Jesus. Thank okay.
Now you can send Griffin. Griffin
that's
home
harder.
With the home game version.
Yeah,
because he needed to get at least two right, or else the home game would be denied to him, and so he would just get a sticker that said "I got my grift got" on get your Griffins.
Yeah, this is a sticker that says "Great job."
Grape job?
Yeah. It says grape job. The picture of a grape. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Nailed it.
Yeah, we were gonna get stickers that were branded for the show, but it was expensive, so we just took some from a teacher's desk.
Uh-huh.
This one also says big cheese. It's got a cheese on it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Apple of my eye.
Yeah, it's got an apple on it. Yeah.
And that's that was a good bulk price for Scratch and Sniffs. I think this was a smart purchase for you.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Thank you. Yeah. So let's go on to the next one. We only got a few left. This one. Now this one, I think you'll get it. And also because I mentioned it earlier. Okay, game show magnate.
Merv Griffin,
right. This one, I normally would have said it was a shoe-in, but the way you've been playing this game, I'm not so sure. Okay.
Oh, poorly? Yeah, go on.
Can you name this Griffin? Played the part of Arthur on The Tick.
Oh, fuck. I know the guy. Can I ask for a hint?
Yeah, here's another hint. Also known for the role of Watto.
Okay. So it's not Andy Succumb from The Phantom Menace. Which failed version of The Tick was this?
This was the
canceled before its prime.
We should clarify. Of the two failed live action versions of The Tick, this was the more recent one. The one that in many cases had more of a shot. And yet, yes, Griffin Newman. Griffin Newman.
Also known,
of course, for playing Watto.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course.
And Pip.
Pip the Chipmunk.
Yeah.
Pip the Chipmunk.
I wasn't going to name all of Griffin's roles.
No, Griffin's
here to promote
that he's kindly.
Pip the Chipmunk.
And America's got Pip fever. It's just topical.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Have you seen any Pip action figures out in the wild yet?
No, I
Or branded merch?
I have the Google Alerts set. I do the search on Shop Disney twice a day. I have asked the Disney marketing department. There have been no clear answers yet. I'm waiting. I have I successfully bought what limited Pip merchandise there was from the first movie, which I was not the voice of Pip in that movie.
Who was the voice of Pip in the first one, if not
great you? Great question. Yeah, great question. In the first movie, Pip essentially is two voice actors, because for those who are not familiar with the first Enchanted,
if you're not, a
delightful film. Mm-hmm. It's like a fish out of water comedy where she's a classic sort of hand-drawn Disney princess named Princess Giselle from the Kingdom of Andalasia. She's got a lot of fun animal friends, and she gets pushed by an evil witch through a well and lands in real New York City where life is tough. And in the opening animated prologue, the first 10 minutes of the film, voice actor named Jeff Bennett, who's an incredible voice actor who voiced Johnny Bravo, among many other characters.
Oh, Johnson Bravo,
He's one of the most prolific voiceover actors of our time. He played Pip for like the three or four lines of dialogue that are at the beginning of the film. And he did like sort of a New York tough guy voice, and then they pitched it up and sped it up. And then when Pip falls through the well and comes to the real world, in the real world, animals can't talk, so he loses his voice. And for the rest of the movie, Pip just squeaks a bunch and it sort of tries to pantomime to warn everyone about the stakes of the film. And the squeaking is voiced by a man named Kevin Lima, who's an animator and directed the first Enchanted film. So there were two different voices. And they thought, what if we find someone who already sounds like a New York chipmunk and we save money in post by not having to speed him up or pitch him up?
Wow.
And that's what brought you to our doorstep.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great. I'm glad you finally were able to tell the audience about Disenchanted, about Pip the Chipmunk, because that means you've unlocked our final round, which is a bonus game. It's called Ain't That a Pip? And in That a Pip, you have to name the actors who have voice acted characters named Pip.
Well, okay.
Let's see if you're ready for it, because let's see. There's a lot. We know you know the Enchanted movies, as you've made so clear.
I bet. Did you have them written down?
The people from the Enchanted movie?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so I don't get points for that.
No. I'll give you. You know what? I'm gonna give you what I call professionalism points.
Because, I was gonna say plug points, proper respect to my forebears points.
All those things. Respecting your elders, standing on the shoulders of giants points. That's what you get.
Mm-hmm. Knowledge of the lineage points.
Because this is a one question bonus round. I think you're gonna get it.
Okay.
Ain't That a Pip? Can you name the voice actor who played Pip the Troll, and also name the movie that character appears in? Pip the Troll.
And also name the movie that appears in. Pip the Troll.
Pip the Troll.
voices Pip the Troll.
Mm-hmm. Pip the Troll.
I might Pip have a guess troll. For this one. If Pip the Troll. A if, real, can I, honest one.
Here's the thing. Do you want a clue or do you want to pass on to Dan? That's called a Dan pass. You're allowed one of those pregame also.
No, I was only going to do it if it didn't, you know.
Well, would you like it? Would you like a clue first?
Dan doesn't want to help. He wants to steal.
I was going to say
he's got gold in his eyes.
I see.
Huh, Dan, you're stroking your beard. You're looking off into the distance, deep in thought.
Maybe I could hazard a guess about the movie, and then if it's correct, maybe that.
Okay, I'm going to use the Dan pass.
Okay.
Is this from A Troll in Central Park?
Oh no, I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay.
Dan, he passed the Pip the Troll to you and you fumbled it to the ground. It shattered into a million pieces. Oh. Now you gotta put it back together with the glue get home and find out it's broken.
Why did I soak this troll in liquid nitrogen?
It's frozen troll.
Okay, Pip the Troll.
Pip the Troll.
It does.
What kind of clue would you prefer? Would you rather have the year that this movie came out, or would you rather have a clue about the source material that this character was taken from?
I would rather have a clue about the source material.
Okay. Pip the Troll was created by Jim Starlin.
Mm. Oh, shit.
I know this now. Thank you.
At first, I thought it was going to be in Reanimator, but that's wrong. Then I thought it was in Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead. That's wrong. Then I thought it was in The Canyons. Also wrong. But I think we finally figured it out.
Yeah.
Who can forget the breakout character from America's favorite blockbuster? Of course, Pip the Troll was voiced by Patton Oswalt in the end credits scene of Eternals.
Yes, you're right. Exactly right. Pip the Troll, best known to comics fans, the sidekick to Adam Warlock, a character slated to appear, I guess, in the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yeah.
Not a Jim Starlin creation, but a character that Jim Starlin really put his mark on. As Flophouse listeners will know, if they listen to the second of the two Elliot Explains Adam Warlock episodes, the first one, of course, was hijacked by Tom Brokaw to talk about the recent Dune film. But Griffin, you got full points from that.
Oh, thank God.
And that raises your average quite a bit.
What I love is that was definitely a moment when many of our listeners, I'm sure, knew the answer and are mad at us.
Yeah.
Very much so. You don't forget a great character like Pip the Troll. He's one of the few teleporting trolls to be loosely based on Jack Kirby's appearance. And don't forget a character like that.
Every once in a while, he
fucks up my SEO on voice of Pip in Disney film.
Yeah,
that's true. Sorry to bring that up. Sorry to remind you about that. But
no, it's fine.
Griffin, you played a great game. You knew those Newmans. You got some of the Griffins, and you really picked that Pip.
I picked that Pip.
Yeah, and especially after Dan so thoroughly tried to mislead you, which was a really, really tricky thing to do. That was the kind of thing you do on a reality show because you're not there to make friends. You're there to win. Right, Dan?
Mm-hmm. Doing it for your family.
Yeah, I was going to say...
It's also just embarrassing, you know, that you would try to lead me astray as if I didn't know that Charles Nelson Reilly was the voice of Lort, the king consort of Queen Norgna.
Yeah, that's...
Lort.
Of course, Leechman was Norga, the evil queen of the forest, who can turn anything to stone with her thumb. Cloris Leechman, yeah. Oh. And Dom DeLuise, we all know, was the voice of Stanley, a troll with a magical green thumb that can grow plants.
Look, I mean, it's a Don Bluth film, right? So Dom DeLuise is going to be in there. Yes.
You're going to have a little Dom DeLuise in there.
They were best friends.
Wheeze laughing away.
Don and Dom, they were the party boys of L.A. for a while together. You could always find them at the Snake Pit.
You know, when I was a kid, like, I didn't find Dom DeLuise funny, which seems like the perfect time to find Dom DeLuise funny. But now that I'm a middle-aged man, I kind of find him funny just because the man is working so goddamn hard all the time.
You respect him. You don't think it's that funny, but damn it, you respect him. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jackie Cation.
Hello, I'm Lori Kilmerton.
We do a podcast called The Jackie and Lori Show, and you could listen to it anytime you want it because there's hundreds of episodes.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing comedy forever, and we should both quit. So why don't you listen up before we leave this not only terrible business, but this awful world.
and find out why we can't. Because we love it so.
Jackie and Lori Show, every week here on MaximumFun.org.
Hi, it's Jesse Thorne, the founder of Maximum Fun. I am breaking into this programming to say thank you to Max Fun's members. Your purchases in this year's post-Max Fun Drive patch sale raised over $50,000 for Trans Lifeline. Maybe you already know about the good work that Trans Lifeline does. If you don't, they're a trans-run organization that offers direct emotional and financial support to trans people in crisis. If you want to learn more about the work Trans Lifeline does or support them further, go to translifeline.org. Thanks for supporting Maximum Fun. Thanks for supporting Trans Lifeline. And thanks for being awesome people who want to do good in the world.
The Flophouse is sponsored in part by Lumi Labs. You've probably heard about microdosing. If not, just know that all sorts of people are microdosing daily to feel healthier and perform better. And our show today, as I said, is partially sponsored by Microdose Gummies, which deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good.
Now, Dan, what would be an imperfect level of THC to help you feel just the right amount of good?
Well, you know, I mean, an imperfect level to make you feel just the right amount of good, like if you had a lot of it, you'd probably feel phased out and maybe a little tired.
Mm-hmm, I don't want that. I feel tired enough as it is in my daily life.
But at this level, it's just sort of a mood booster, a creativity enhancer.
I like that. What if there was too little in there? What would happen if there was too little?
If there was too little, you probably just would be like, what's going on? I'm not feeling anything.
You sound angry, yeah.
I'd be upset.
Great impression of me having had too little, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
Batman, you're in trouble.
Me.
I'm the Penguin of an awesome R.G. Robinson. Yeah.
Okay, shut up, because this is the part where I read it verbatim. Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code FLOP, FLOP, to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description. But again, that is microdose.com, code FLOP. And we're also sponsored in part by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform for building your brand and growing your business online. Stand out with a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything. Your products, content you create, and even your time.
Hold on. Oh, what? Wait, Stuart, were you going to say? I'll get to my point. Stuart,
I was going to say you could put together a website that lists all the famous Griffins as well as all the famous Newmans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you said I could sell anything?
Anything.
Could I sell like a Yeti?
Yes. Yeti microphone?
Like a dragon?
A bad dragon sex toy?
You know,
like
what?
A basilisk?
This is my fault for not for in unclear phrasing. You can sell anything that exists in the world.
Oh, that I already have. Okay.
That is,
I couldn't sell like a magic bean that when you eat it, you can change shape to be any member of the Three Stooges except for Curly.
Well,
everyone wants to be Curly.
You know what? You probably could sell it in the sense that you could claim that that is the thing. But then you'd be committing fraud that's unconnected.
Squarespace does not approve of fraud.
The product, you know, like that's a problem on your end.
So if I'm getting it straight, I can set up a website where I can do just about anything that's within the bounds of the law and the laws of reality.
Yes.
That's true. Wow.
You can sell your products on an online store, whether you sell physical or digital products. Squarespace has the tools you need to sell online. You can create pro-level videos with the Squarespace Video Studio app, which helps you make and share engaging videos to tell your story, grow your audience, and drive your sales. And you can display posts from your social profiles on your website. Automatically push website content to your favorite social media channels so your followers can share it too. That's why, if any of this interests you, you should head to squarespace.com/flop for a free trial. And when you are ready to launch, use offer code FLOP to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Can I ask you guys this? You know, we do this little game on the Blank Check podcast, the box office game, where I try to guess the top five movies at the box office from the weekend of the film that we're discussing.
Yeah, you're very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was, I went onto the Troll in Central Park Wikipedia page just randomly after I listed those character names and cast members.
Yeah.
I knew those, and then I just felt like looking at the Wikipedia page.
Do you
three gentlemen want to wager guesses as to the final domestic box office gross of a Troll in Central Park? This is not opening weekend. This is the final
domestic
box office
after
gross.
Its complete 8 to 9 month run in first run theaters in the United States.
I'm gonna put in a bid. I'm gonna say it.
So you're buying? Wait, are you buying a Troll in Central Park?
Are you buying it?
I'm gonna make a guess
at the Don Bluth estate sale.
I'm gonna say it topped out at 360,000.
Okay, great guess, Stuart, Elliot. Either of you want to wager a guess?
I'm gonna say 205,000. It's a while back. Tickets were a little cheaper.
October 7th, 1994. Film was 1 hour and 16 minutes long. Of course,
that's a showing. Sweet run time.
Oh, that means that they can fit more showings
in. The prices. Yeah. It does, but it also means half the tickets are like half price.
Yeah, that's true.
Stuart, do you want to wager a guess? We have one guess in the 300,000s, one guess in the 200,000s.
I'm gonna be optimistic. I'm gonna say 400,000.
Wow.
Wait, okay. Can I redefine mine?
Uh-huh.
I feel like the lower numbers are staked out. I'm going to say $700 million. I'm going to say it was the number one film of that year.
Well, Elliot, of course, I should have said we're doing Price is Right rules, highest without going over.
Oh.
Closest without going over, sorry, rather. But it's a shame because otherwise all of you were very far off. The final domestic total, $71,000.
Oof, wow. That's got to hurt to see that number
even
and know that your movie made it.
Fewer tens
but it
of thousands
didn't cost that much
than,
to make, right?
Fewer thousands than the runtime, the number of minutes in there. 76 minutes.
They didn't even make $1,000 per minute of film.
No.
Wow.
Nope. I'm not going to budget here, but my guess is higher than $71,000.
That reminds me of the time, I think I've talked about this on the show before, but probably if I did, everyone's probably forgotten it because it's kind of boring, that I learned that the Chinese movie Devil's on the Doorstep grossed $20,000 during its American release. And I was like, I saw that movie. So I must have been one of like 1,500 people that saw it in the entire United States. And I felt like I was in a little club.
A very exclusive club.
Yeah, exclusive club of people who decided to go on opening night to see it at the Film Forum to see this Chinese import that the New York Times made it sound like it was a dark comedy. It was not a comedy at all. It was a very serious movie.
Were you alone in the theater or were there other people?
There were a small sprinkling of people.
Wow, okay.
Were there as many people as there were when I saw the premiere of Cowards Bend the Knee and Guy Madden showed up to introduce it in person? And I think there was probably less than 15 people in the audience.
Wow.
I think there were not that many, but there were still a few. There's a small sprinkling of people.
Mm-hmm. You know what they say about Troll in Central Park, right?
Once you go troll, you never go.
I mean,
go
of course I do, but can you enlighten our listeners? Yeah,
yeah, of course. I'm sorry to bore the listeners with the thing they already know that I'm about to just repeat
course,
on mic. Only approximately 7,000 people ever saw Troll in Central Park in theaters, but every single one of them went on to write a great rock album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that there's been so much Troll in Central Park talk, because I remember very distinctly voting for Don Bluth and you guys' brackets and
to
cover, and Marie Barty being on Twitter being like, why are you nutcases voting for Don Bluth? And I'm like, look, I would love to hear this. Like, when is anyone going to talk about Don Bluth to the degree that I want to hear a podcast talk about Don Bluth?
And look, one of the more interesting kind of rise and fall film careers.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Oh, I mean, from literally like the golden boy at Disney, you know.
Yes.
But this is interesting. As long as we were talking about A Troll in Central Park during an episode that probably should have ended some time ago.
It's a maxi mini.
I decided to look up a gnome named Norm because I thought
about
it. Oh, sure. only now learning that was not an animated film, but a live action film.
Okay.
Was that a disgusting animatronic creation?
It was someone in a costume, it looks like. It was directed by Stan Winston. So.
Oh, Jeez.
Mm. But voiced by Rob Paulsen, the great voice actor Rob Paulsen.
Who played Arthur on the Tick cartoon?
Oh, was he? He was Arthur on the Tick cartoon. That's right.
It was
right,
two voices. It was a classic. And it was Mickey situation. Dolenz
eventually started it. Right?
Mickey Dolenz was season one, and then Rob Paulsen took over. Yeah, exactly. I forgot how disgusting the gnome named Norm looked.
This is a movie I only knew by title, and I'm only realizing now.
Same.
But it's an amazing cast.
I mean, that's a fucking banger of a title, right?
Yes.
That is a name that sticks in your head forever.
Yeah,
Norm you'll be on your deathbed, and that'll still be in there.
For people who I have to assume the only movie where Jerry Orbach and Robert Zadar are in the same cast.
And it's very important that for people who are listening to this and may not have ever seen A Gnome Named Norm written out, there is a G before Norm. So
yeah, that's the joke. That's the joke of the title, everybody.
Yeah, but if you're hearing it, you don't know. You don't know
no,
that's true. The full
no one's
brilliance
say
of a gnome named Norm.
Named
is a
Gnorm or a gnome right. named Gnorm. It's right. not how you pronounce things.
Wikipedia says, a gnome named Norm, also known in some markets as Upworld. Why even bother? If you're not going to fucking call the thing a gnome named Norm, why bother putting it in the theaters?
This is my only suggestion, maybe, to play devil's advocate, is that maybe that was the foreign release title in places where the hilarious gnome with a G and Norm with a G wouldn't play quite the same way.
This is interesting. Insane. I didn't. Sorry, I mean, you probably said this before when you said it was live action, but this is so much more interesting than I assumed A Gnome Named Norm would be. Now I kind of want to see it. The fact that it's directed by Stan Winston is about a cop who teams up with a gnome to solve a murder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I
you see the pictures of Norm, uh-huh. I'm assuming is the name. I mean, the title says it all. And you're like, wow, he's really hairy and strange looking. What does his whole body look like? And when you see his whole body, it just asks more questions.
Mm. Now you may be asking yourself, was A Gnome Named Norm written and produced by the same man who wrote and produced Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? Well, yes, of course it was.
Of course it was.
And did that same man also supervise the fight montages in Rocky II? Well, yes, of course. We all know that. Yeah.
Wow.
So he then went on to make A Gnome Named Norm.
This is like if Brian Froud fell asleep while drawing this gnome.
Yeah. I think I like the Spanish name Gnomo Cop the most.
Oh, Jesus. I'm realizing I absolutely have been picturing a different movie in my head when I have heard A Gnome Named Norm.
Yeah.
I feel like there was some early 90s Disney Channel rotation movie in which there's like some kind of troll in an office. There's a visual I have of like a little person with an animatronic head or maybe a lot of prosthetic makeup wearing a suit, but they have like furry hobbit feet and some sort of like Brian Froud face. But not as horrific as this.
Yeah.
The buddy cop Anthony Michael Hall thing, this was not what I had in mind.
No, and in case you were wondering if this came out that the same year that the same cinematographer had King of New York, directed by Abel Ferrara, came out, yes, it was the same cinematographer, same year.
Thank you for answering all these questions,
Elliot.
Does the
gnome
have
crazy. A gnome in it? Is that the...
Is that what I'm thinking of? I'm waiting for like one of your listeners to eventually write in and tell me what this movie is that I'm thinking of. But maybe it is...
I'm just going to do a quick search for gnome movies.
The poster of the gnome mobile has a tall tale about little people. It says, they cut a timber tycoon down to size. And it's... You know, some people like doing like a Harrison Ford point at some gnomes.
This looks very Darby O'Gillis and the Little People, where it's just small people. It's just actors shrunk down using the magic of movies.
Yeah, as opposed to a horrific gnome with a scary face.
Right, and I'm picturing a slightly cuter gnome in a suit.
Yeah.
Sitting behind a desk. What is this movie I'm thinking of? Someone please write it.
I can see it too. I see like the VHS cover of this thing.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay. Well, that's the cliffhanger that I think we should end on.
Troll in office movie.
You know what I'm finding? Stuart, I'm finding a VHS box for Upworld, which has English text on the front. It says Casey's a cop, Norm's a gnome. Together, the long and short arm of the law. So I was wrong. That's not the foreign title. They just decided, I guess maybe they thought they could fool some people at the video store into thinking it wasn't a gnome named Norm that they were renting.
Wow.
Stuart, was there something that you wanted to?
Yeah, so thanks so much for joining us, Griffin. This has been great.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure.
This mini is part of the Flophouse podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We're on the Maximum Fun Network. It's produced by Alex Smith. Thank you a bunch, and bye. And welcome back. Welcome to this podcast. This is The Kind Rewind, the podcast where we recap Dan and Stuart going out to dinner with actor Richard Kind. I'm your host, Stuart Wellington. Joining me is Dan McCoyne. We have two guests as well. We got Elliot Kaling and Griffin Newman. Hey, everybody. Dan, so what do you think of that food?
It's very, very, very nice. Very nice. Very nice evening.
But I think what people are really looking forward to, the meat of this podcast, that is, not the meat of the meal, because that was actual meat, but the meat of the podcast, of course, is what did you think of actor Richard Kind?
Well, I'll tell you something. I've never seen so much pure joy on someone's face and never taken so much joy in someone's reaction as when, for whatever reason, Audrey mentioned us going on the Avatar amusement park ride. And Richard Kind's face getting super serious and super enthused, saying, "That's the best ride." And just like the intensity and clear love for the Avatar ride was delightful to see.
I just want to say that both of you texted me while you were at dinner with Richard Kind to tell me that you were at dinner with Richard Kind.
Well, you know, when you're at, when you have dinner with someone at the level of a Richard Kind, you got to let everyone know.
And
I
feel like
the exact same thing in your position.
Of the people in my life, I'm like, Griffin really wants to know this.
Yeah, and I believe my response was, this is the third time someone has independently brought up Richard Kind to me today.
He's on everybody's lips. There's one name on everybody's lips, and it's Kind.
It had happened in two in-person conversations hours apart the same day that you, both of you then texted me and said, we're at dinner with Richard Kind right now.
Yeah.
What a dream. And for me, it was really great to watch my man Dan McCoy chatting up about theater stuff with Richard Kind. Smiles all around. A lot of love. So this has been The Kind Rewind. Thanks so much for tuning in. Bye.
Stuart, I think you showed such restraint in not bringing that bit in at any point when we were just talking about gnome movies for a while.
The trick is I forgot about it for a minute.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.